First Peter chapter number 1. Let's begin reading this morning in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I want to draw your attention to an expression that we find in verse number 7. And it's the words "tried with fire." And I'd like for you to notate that somehow in your Bible by either drawing a line underneath it or a box or a circle around those words. But that's what I want to talk to you about today. Tried with fire. And last week we looked at this passage of Scripture and we talked about the heart in heaviness. And if you remember, we talked about in verse 6 where Peter tells us, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now in the present for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations." And we talked about how that we all experience times of heaviness where our heart is filled with heaviness and difficult times, but that God does have a plan and God has a purpose for it, and it's only if need be. And God uses that to develop our faith. Well, this morning I want us to focus in on an illustration that Peter gives us here in verse number 7. And the illustration that he gives us here in verse number 7 is that of our faith being like gold. Look at it again in verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Peter relates our faith to gold, and he relates the process by which God develops and strengthens and furthers our faith by the same way that gold is taken and that gold is refined by fire. And as we look at this illustration and we study what it means, and we're going to look today at the process by which gold and how it's found and how it's refined in the finished process, it gives us a beautiful picture of our development of our faith from the very beginning of our faith to the end of our faith, and it helps us to understand what God is doing. And I'm praying that today that God is going to, by His Spirit, give you the ability to hear and receive and make the application to your own life about how that God is developing your faith through the trials of fire that you're going through right now in this very moment. So if you're taking notes with us this morning, let's begin talking about this tried with fire by looking first of all at the search for gold. Number one, let's talk about the search for gold. Now remember, when we talk about the gold, it's just an illustration of our faith. And as we think about gold and Peter's illustration that he uses here, we begin this process with someone looking or seeking for the gold. Gold is not something that we find just laying around. Gold's not something that we find growing on a tree. Gold is something that we must seek out, and gold is something that must be sought for. And as we think about this process, it gives us a beautiful picture of how God seeks us out in the matter of salvation. And as we think about this search for gold, let's continue thinking about it as we talk about the work of capturing gold. The work of capturing gold. The work of capturing gold is a difficult thing. Gold is often found in riverbeds. Sometimes it's found in creeks. If you've ever been up in the mountain areas, sometimes there's even places that you can pull over by the side of the road and they'll let you pan for gold. I don't know if there's any gold there, but they're sure making a good living off of trying to get people to look for it, aren't they? But sometimes there's gold in creeks and riverbeds, and you'll see people and pictures of people pining for gold even in this area. But honestly, most of those people are looking for flakes of gold. The big consistency and the big large amounts of gold is often found by mining, and they go into a cave and they mine just as they would mine for coal or other minerals and rock. They would go and they dive in. But regardless of whether you're looking for gold in a riverbed or a creek or whether you're looking for it in the mountains, the process of searching, the work of capturing gold, is a dirty, filthy process. I want to give you a picture illustration of what I'm talking about. Here we have two different groups of people in two different methods that are trying to find gold. They're in the work of capturing the gold, and both of these are in Eastern Africa. You see in the picture to your right, a gentleman and several gentlemen in a body of water that's been dug out, and you can still see the residue of that. But this gentleman is knee deep in mud. He's got the mud all over him. He's got it on his arms, and they're going to take what is in his pan there, and they're going to sift through it to try to see if there's any gold in that area. The gentlemen on your left are in a mine. They're looking for gold in a rock, and you can see that just as the gentlemen on the right who are filthy with mud, these guys are filthy with dirt and dust from digging in that mine. And you can look at both of them, and from head to toe, they're covered with dirt and mud and mire. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? What in the world does any of this have to do with us, and what does it have to do with our faith? Well, here's what it has to do with our faith. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 19, verse 10, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ came to this earth seeking gold. He came seeking the gold that is found in you, and he came to seek the gold that's found in me. He came seeking us because we are precious to him. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 40, verse 2, David writes as he describes how God found him. He says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. David said, I was down in a miry pit. And he says, but God has brought me up out of that miry pit, and he set my feet on a rock, and he placed in my heart a new song. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do? What this has to do with this? What you see here is a picture illustration of what Jesus Christ did for you and I. Because Jesus Christ is pure and he's holy, he's without sin, but he left the ivory palaces of glory and he came down where? He came down into the filth and the muck and the mire of this world that is surrounded by sin. And what did he do? He got sin on him. He was around sin just like these miners are. What was his purpose? His purpose was to seek out you and I. And when he walked up Calvary's road and he went to the cross, when he was nailed to the cross, do you know what he was covered in on the cross? He was covered in sin. It wasn't his own sin, but it was my sin, and it was your sin. And so what I'm simply telling you today is this, as Peter describes our faith being gold, that the beginning of the process comes with someone searching for the gold, and Jesus Christ, just like these miners are going searching for gold, he went searching up Calvary's hill that day because he wanted to find the gold of our faith. And it's a dirty work, and what happened on the cross was a terrible, awful work. But we not only see the work of capturing gold, but there's a second step I want you to see. We see, secondly, the water for cleansing gold. The water for cleansing gold. Now, we're still talking about the search for gold. We're talking about that gold is not something that we just walk out into a field and pick up, but it's sought for, and it's a work. The work of capturing it is a very dirty work. It's a filthy work. But then once we've got the gold, the very first thing that we do is we have to wash the gold off. That's why you see those people constantly when they're sifting for gold, they've got it in water because they're trying to sift out the difference between the dirt that's on it and the mud that's on it, and they're trying to wash it off so that it will further reveal the gold. Even when you're in, when you're digging in a cave and you remember the picture of those guys, when they find a rock, it's not pure. It's not something you want to put around your neck. It's not something you want to wear on a ring, but rather it's dirty. And the first thing that they do is they have to wash the dirt off the rock. Let me give you an illustration of a rock that's found. This is gold. It's gold that's been mined. It's gold that's come out. There's gold there, but there's also a lot of rock there, isn't there? And you can imagine as those miners were in there and that chunk of gold, that rock fell out, that it had all that dust and it had all that dirt on it and it had mud on it. And the first thing that they would do is they'd take and they'd have to wash all that excess mud and dirt off of it. Say, preacher, you're losing me again. What does this have to do with me? Here's what it has to do with you. When Jesus Christ finds us and he deals with us about the fact that we're lost and we give our heart and life to him, we're just like this rock. There's gold in us, but there's still a lot of rock in us. And when he finds us, we're not pure and shiny and pretty, but rather we've got a lot of the dust and dirt of the world on us. And the first thing that he does is he washes us off. You say, Pastor, how does he do that? Well, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, verse 26, and it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. How does God wash us off? How does God cleanse us? He cleanses us through the Word of God. He cleanses us this morning where a pastor or in a Sunday school hour, a teacher gets in and they begin to teach you the Word of God. And as you reveal, as God reveals Himself to you through His Word, then you realize, you know, I don't need this in my life. I don't need this over here in my life. And just like this rock was washed off, and it was washed off of all that excess dust and dirt to reveal what was there, God does the same thing with people. He washes off all that exterior dust and dirt of the world when we come to know Him as Savior. And so as we think about what Paul, what Peter's talking about here and our faith being like gold, gold first of all must be searched for. But then there's a second part. We not only see that gold must be searched for, but secondly, I want you to see the separation of the gold. The separation of the gold. Now somebody's done the dirty work of capturing it. Somebody's cleansed the dust and the dirt off of it. And now we've got gold and a chunk of rock. But once again, it's not something that we'd want to wear. It's, to be honest with you, it's gold and it has some value, but it's honestly probably got so much around it that the value of it would be very minuscule. So we've got something here and it's valuable. It contains value, but we need to do something. We need to remove the rock from the gold. So how are we going to do that? Well, it's a two-fold process. The first step in the process of separating the gold is traumatic. It's traumatic. We've got to take that rock that you saw up there just a moment ago that has a lot of rock in it and it's got some gold in it, and we've got to traumatize that rock. We've got to take that rock and we've got to do something to it that it wouldn't like. And if it was alive, it would cry out and say, I don't like this. I don't like what you're getting ready to do. It doesn't look like fun. And we have to take that rock and we have to traumatize it. We have to break it. We've got to crush the rock. We've got to take, the only way to separate the gold from the rock is to disturb and to traumatize the rock. It's the only way they'll be separated. We can't talk the gold out of it. We can't will the gold out of it. The only way to separate that which is not valuable from that which is valuable is to traumatize that rock. We've got to crush it. We've got to smash it. We've got to break that rock. It's a traumatic process, but it's also, secondly, a tedious process. The process of separating the gold from the rock is traumatic, but it's tedious. Here's why. If you and I were out and I can see a couple of hillbillies, just like myself, a couple of rednecks out there, and we found some gold before we knew any had any sense, and we're out there thinking, man, we got some rock. But there's a lot of, we got some gold, but there's a lot of rock there. We gotta separate this. Hey, Billy Bob, you got a hammer in your truck. Go get that hammer. We're going to separate it right now. We're going to put it on another rock, and we're going to crush this baby. Well, that's one way to do it, but it's not the way a miner would do it. Because, yes, we've got to traumatize the rock, but we've got to do it in a very tedious way. Because here's the problem. If we have that rock that we just saw a minute ago, and we start wailing on it with a hammer, you know something that's going to happen? We may separate the rock from the gold, but we're also going to lose a lot of flakes of gold. Because as we go to beat on it, anybody that's ever crushed a stone or anybody that's ever crushed a walnut or any type of thing, you know that there's little particles that fly off when you violently crush something. So the process is very tedious. We've got to traumatize that stone to separate the stone from the gold, but we've got to do it in a way where that we don't lose any of the gold. And so people would use an instrument very much like the one, just like this. They would use an instrument like this one, and they would take that stone, and they would put it down in this stone. And some there on a larger scale, of course, they're a lot more bigger. This is more of a personalized rock crusher. But they would take that stone, and they would drop it down in that cylinder, and then they would take and crush that rock with that mallet. You know why? Because even though the rock is being crushed, none of the flakes of gold are going to be lost. None of the flakes of gold are going to fly off to the and be lost, never to be have any value whatsoever. And so you say, Pastor, again, man, this sermon, you're losing me again. Bring me back in, preacher. Let me bring you back in right now. The way that a miner would separate the gold from the rock is the same way our Heavenly Father separates the rock from the gold in our life and in our faith. The only way that God can take those impurities, those things about us that devalue us, and separate them from the gold is to traumatize us. The only way that He can do it, He can't talk it out, He can't will it out. There are some things that He absolutely must put us in a trial of fire. He must allow our life to go through these difficult times, and He must put that holy pressure down on us. And it's the only way He can separate the rock from the gold. But you mark this down. Our God, just as this goldsmith wouldn't just go wailing on a rock, He will not just go wailing on your heart. He will not just go wailing on your life, but rather it is a tedious process, because He's not doing it because He doesn't love us. Just like the miner's not doing this because he doesn't appreciate and value the rock. The whole process is to try to make that which is there more valuable. And that's what God is trying to do with us. And that's why God, just like these miners, even though He has to break and crush and smash that rock, He's going to do it in a way that is very precise, so that none of our value is lost. I know sometimes as we go through hard times, we think, God, don't you even care? God, I've cried out. Don't you care? God, I'm here and I've prayed, and it doesn't seem like you're doing anything. It seems like there's no point. There's no purpose. God, why would you let this come into my life? Why, God, would you let me go through this? I've served you. I've trusted you. And people in the world that don't even go to church, that don't know you, they don't go through half of what I'm going through. Why, God, do you let me go through this? May I say to you this morning, don't look at it as though God's angry with you, or though God hates you, or God's mad at you, but God sees gold in you, and He's trying to separate that rock from the gold, because He sees some value in your life. And the only way that He can bring out and make that gold, the purest, most valuable gold that He can, is through this separation process of the gold. He must traumatize us. He must crush our hearts sometimes to separate the gold from the stone. We've seen the searching for gold and the separation for gold, but notice the third and final thing this morning, and that's the sanctification of the gold. Thirdly, we see the sanctification of the gold. Somebody had to go search for the gold. Jesus went searching. He was covered in the filth and the muck and the mire, just like those miners. Then they washed it off, and now they realize that they've got to separate it, so they put it through this crushing process. So now what we have done is we've extricated the rock from the gold. We've made the gold more valuable, and we've removed the external things that devalue the gold. And so now, after this crushing process is done, we can hold little components of gold in our hand. But that gold, even though it looks a whole lot better than it did when we started, still has impurities. And it has impurities in it that you may not be able to see with the naked eye. They're hidden impurities. Now, I don't know if God helps you to see this or not, but I hope that by His Spirit He'll help me to explain it. That's the way it is with us. When we get saved and we begin to serve the Lord and we go through trials, God deals with some of the external things that are sinful in our life. And He knocks those away, and so now we look pretty and we look shiny, but yet there's still inward things. Maybe it's not something we're doing. Maybe it's an attitude of our heart. Maybe it's the spirit of our heart. Things in us that devalue us. And so that's when we get into the sanctification process. The separating is done by crushing, but the sanctification process is done by fire. And that's what Peter is talking about. Now we get into the exact portion of this process that Peter talks about here in chapter 1 when he says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Peter now is talking about this sanctification process, and it's a process by which this gold must go under intensive heat so that it will refine the gold, so it will remove those inward impurities that devalue the gold. And as we see this refining by fire, it's a beautiful picture of how God sanctifies us. Let me try to give you this morning a clearer picture of this whole process. There's four components that we deal with when we think about refining in this sanctification process. Number one, we have the coals. The first thing that the craftsman must do is he must heat up some coals if he's going to refine the fire. One of the beautiful things I thought about as I was studying this week about those coals is he doesn't just fire up coals and he doesn't just have a whole bunch of random fires going all at once, but no, he starts a fire for a specific batch of gold. He's precise in the coals, but there's not only coals, but secondly, there's the crucible. The crucible is this little metal stone-looking bowl-like item. And the crucible's purpose is that the crucible is what we're going to put the gold nuggets in. And the crucible is going to go down into the fire. Now, I believe myself that in this process that there's a beautiful illustration and that this crucible actually pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how in the world could a little stone thing picture the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you wait just a minute and I'll share it with you. With the coals, and then we have the crucible, but then there's a third thing. The third thing, we have the crushed gold. You can see the crushed gold here. Now, this is what the gold looks like after it's been hammered out, after it's been separated from the rock. It looks a lot better than it did in that rock, doesn't it? But there's still a lot of impurities there. There's still a great work to be done. And so this sanctification process, it involves the coals, it involves the crucible, it involves the crushed gold, but then it involves, fourthly, the craftsman. You see, the fire and the crucible and the crushed gold, they're all pointless unless the craftsman is there. Unless the craftsman is there to put it all together, unless the craftsman is there to heat the fire, unless the craftsman is there to put the gold into the crucible and then to put the gold down into the fire in the crucible, it's all pointless without the craftsman. And so now they begin this refining process. And the first step is to take and put the crucible down into the coals. Now here's where I want to show you the illustration of why I believe that the crucible is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the coals there, but do you see the crucible inside the coals? Right here? You see it over here? And you see it right there? Well, you see, we're getting ready to pour those gold nuggets into that crucible. Now, just so you stay with the illustration, you and I are the gold nuggets. All right? I believe that this crucible and this process is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't just pour those gold nuggets down onto the fire and let them melt all over everywhere, do they? No. They pour those gold nuggets into that crucible. And you know what that crucible does? It protects the gold from being consumed by the fire. You see, that gold's going to get awful hot in there. That gold's going to melt in there. That gold is going to go under such intense heat like it's never experienced in its life. But because the craftsman values the gold, he doesn't just put those gold nuggets on the coals, but he puts those gold nuggets in something that will protect them. And he puts those gold nuggets in something that will keep them from being consumed. And you know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. God the Father says, you know what, I've got to put Scott in the trial. I've got to put Scott in the fire so that he can be refined. But I'm not just going to throw him into the fire. I'm going to put something there to protect him in the fire. You say, Pastor, how can you possibly say that? Well, let me go back and read Daniel chapter whatever it is where Daniel is his three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't his children. They were just part of his story. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar. But when they looked into the fire, what did they say? They said they saw a fourth man walking around in the fire. And that's why I tell you that I believe this crucible and this illustration pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has put us in His control and He goes into the fire with us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, did He not? And so whatever fire you're in today, I promise you, it may feel like you're going to be consumed, but the Lord Jesus is right there with you. He feels every bit of the heat that you feel. The only difference is He protects us in the heat. So the crucible goes into the coals, but then we have this next step, and you can see, do you see the gold chunks here? The gold chunks, that's you and I being poured into that awful fire. And that's where we experience this heat. That's where we feel this overwhelming sensation in our lives, the overwhelming sensation of our faith, and we think, God, I can't take this anymore. God, I'm going to be consumed. Lord, I'm going to melt under all of this. But let me show you the beautiful picture. In ancient times, when Peter would have been writing this, this process was done. The coals were lit, the crucible was placed down in, and those gold nuggets would go down into that crucible, and it would melt the gold. But the craftsman, who I believe pictures the Father, the craftsman would always stand right beside the crucible. Or sometimes he would even sit beside that crucible while that gold was in there. And he would stir. You can see the stir. He would stir the gold as it began to melt. And as it would heat up, something happens. There was a chemical reaction. You see, those components that were not gold could not stand the heat. And that intense heat would cause that dross, and it would cause those impurities to separate from the gold, and it would cause it to rise up to the surface. And as those impurities would rise to the surface of that melting gold, the craftsman would take his utensil and he would slowly drag those impurities out of that pot, and he would cast them off to the side. And then he'd stir the gold again, and as more impurities, as more dross rose to the top, he'd take and he'd skim all that ugly impurities off, and he'd cast them off to the side. That's what God does when our faith is in the fire. When our faith is in the fire, it tests us. It takes that weakness that's in us. It takes those doubts and those fears and those things that devalue us spiritually, and it causes them to rise to the top. And God, just like that craftsman, scrapes those things away and he casts them to the side, because his whole point is to make this gold something more pure and more valuable than it was as it went into the fire in the final process. When it's all done, the gold is poured out. It's poured out hot. But once it cools, it becomes something far, far more valuable than it was when it was stuck in a mountain somewhere, or when it was stuck in a riverbed somewhere. It comes out something that everybody would want. And so now, as we go back to 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 7, Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This refining process is what God does with every one of our lives. None of us are excluded. He does it not because he's angry with us, but he does it because he's trying to develop our faith. He's trying to make us something more precious and more valuable. If the gold could speak, it would say, I realize the process and I'd rather not go through it. I'll just stay invaluable. Just like you and I, if God came to me and said, Scott, I'll let you go through this trial and I'll let you go through this trial, I said, Lord, I'm not interested in any trials. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through the pain. I don't want to cry those tears. But it's not up to me and it's not up to you. Now, here's a beautiful thought. In order for somebody to go through this whole lengthy process, somebody had to see the value of the finished product to go through the effort. And as God looks down at our life, he looks down and sees us just like that gold in that rock, in that mountain. We're not worth a whole lot. But he doesn't just see us there. He sees what we can be. When God looks at the gold in the mountain, he doesn't see the gold in the mountain. He sees this gold being poured out into this golden bar. He sees what we can be. And that's why, with such painstaking love, he went to the cross and he sought out you and he sought out me. And that's why with such great precision he takes and he puts us through that separation process to separate the gold from the rock. And then he takes us and takes it a step further. And yes, he puts us in the fire, but he never leaves us alone in the fire. He remains right by our side the entire time through the entire process until we come forth with something that Peter says is not just as precious as gold, but is more precious than gold. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what I've got yet to face, and I don't know what you've got to face. But as we go through this process, may God help us to realize that the times that we go and we're tried with fire, it's not without purpose, but it's God's purpose, and it's God working in our lives to make us something far more valuable in His sight. Let's bow our heads in prayer.